It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Not flying solo today, but we are flying without Mr. Rivers as he's dealing with some stuff that he has to take care of. That's a very important thing for him. And we are going to try to carry this load without him today. I think he did enough work last week that he deserves a week off from us and dealing with us. But never fear, Hendu is here. Coach Henson from McKendry. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Cromes. What's up?
And a special surprise today for all of you that have been scouring the countryside as you have seen Kimball's face on the milk cartons. We found him, and he is going to pick up the slack today. Come on here and give us his thoughts on the Blues. And I know he was very, very sad to miss the event at Minner Arena, which, you know, I got to tell you, was a great time. Had an awesome experience. Hendu, I really wish you could have come as well, but I know you were taking care of making sure you were NCAA eligible to do what it is you do. So I know that has to come first, but what an awesome event. I do want to take the time to thank Dennis Minner and his crew, his family, really, for allowing us into their home. Minner Arena never disappoints. I know that the fans that won the contest were ecstatic, and we had a great time. You know, Tony Twist doesn't disappoint. Reed Lowe was great. I haven't had the chance to be around him as much, but man, he never disappoints. He's such an honest, matter of fact guy about things. And you know, we wound up running long, and Jamie and Tony had to get out of there pretty quick because you know Tony owns a business.
Yeah.
And Reeder stuck around and ate with us. And man, it, you know, just up there, just telling it how it is, man.
Yeah.
And it's funny. We're all up in Dennis's house. And we're eating, and he is just kind of holding court, and everybody's just kind of looking at him because, I mean, he's not mincing words, and he's just basically telling you what's going on here. And it was a lot of fun. So he was impressive. It was a great time. And thanks to all of our winners for coming. Again, Dennis, our friends at Urban Chestnut, thank you for the beer. We did have another gentleman from Anheuser-Busch bring some beer by. Thank you. You know, they always support the local sports stuff, of course. Adam Smokehouse, boy, Mike did not disappoint. It was a smorgasbord to beat all smorgasbords. The food was awesome. Fans were so impressed.
Not gonna lie, I was jealous.
Danine brought some desserts. I mean, yeah. She was ready to send us all into a food coma. But you know, it looked to me like everybody had a great time and really enjoyed it. The guys were gracious with their time, took selfies, signed anything people had. Our host Dennis had some awesome stuff that he had for Twister to sign and had a great pick of Reed. But
I say it all the time, and I don't care what sport it is. For the most part,
yes,
pro athletes are outstanding people.
Right, they are.
I mean, they just are.
If you treat them with respect.
Well, right.
Don't treat them like they owe you anything because they don't.
Correct, but you know. I mean, they're just all they're right. Good people.
Well, it was a great event. We had a great time. Everybody loves story. I jokingly call it story time with Uncle Creepy, but it is the funnest thing in the world to sit there and listen to these stories and have a front row seat, of course. But we all right now as Blues fans have a front row seat to an amazing run. I know you're sitting there just shaking your head. I do it too. I mean,
yeah, when what the hell, man? They got 90 points.
Yeah, when they beat Tampa, when they beat the team, you know, and then they destroy a team they should destroy. And how many times have we talked about, oh, my God, you know, it is an amazing thing, right? So I know as a fan that that has been the most fun thing in the whole deal for me is to sit here and watch a team do what you thought they could do all along.
Yeah, this turnaround is, I don't know if, I know I've never seen it. And definitely not from the Blues, but I can't even tell you if I've seen it from another team.
Well, it's felt like NHL a roller coaster for a while, right? Like,
it's insane.
You don't know who they are. It's up and down. And then
even when they get outplayed, they win. Because Tampa straight up outplayed them, and they got the win there.
Would this be more of a, you know, a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing? Like, who will the real team please, you know, Slim Shady? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Yeah, but I hope
the old switcheroo.
This is the real team.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I think, you hear this a lot, but players, like, in every sport, you know, they gotta accept a role or understand a role or, you know, and play within that role or whatever. I think, like, this is one of the first times where I see that happening with the St. Louis Blues. Like, guys understand what their job is, and they're doing it at their best level right now. And they've been doing it since January 2nd. And that's key because that's when Otter went on the bench. So now you got two guys with some grit.
We haven't talked much about that. Do you think it's an underrated? It was an underrated move?
I think it is. I think there's some credit to be given there. I think Steve Ott has obviously been a leader in the NHL for years. You know, he's been a captain or an assistant captain or alternate captain everywhere he's gone, and he's been part of, you know, what makes a locker room. They say he's an outstanding locker room guy, and you know, January 2nd they put him on the bench, and now you got two, like, you know, war type battlers, veterans of, like, just war upon war, and they're your coaches now, so you have no choice but to, you know, to step up and do your job.
I'm gonna say this,
okay, just this
out loud.
Oh, the word.
I'm gonna say this out loud. Okay. No,
go.
We've had some guys take a beating on this show for a while.
Yeah,
rightfully so, I believe in my heart.
Yeah,
and two of them right now, I'll take all day long. And one is, and let's just say, let's preface it by saying I really like where Alexander Steen is in the lineup.
Okay.
On the fourth line.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about, listen, you cannot talk about the turnaround of the St. Louis Blues. We can talk about Craig Berube. We can talk about Steve Ott, which I think, as great point by you, which I think was an underrated thing that we haven't looked at. We've looked at other things that, like, sparked it, right?
Yeah.
With the fight between Sanford and Bertuzzo. Let me make no mistake about this. Go back and look at when Jay Bouwmeester started playing the best hockey he's ever played in a Blue Note.
He's their best D right now. Like, he is.
Every time there's a situation on the ice. Now, they're not perfect. I mean, the game is fast and it moves and things happen, right? But for the most part, I would say I'm talking 90 percentile and above. He is in the right spot. He's making good decisions. He is moving really well. He is making plays. And I'm sitting here going, wow.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying guy's a Norris Trophy winner here.
No, but he's playing better than I've seen him play in years.
From the day he got here.
And he's playing with urgency, like I say all the time. He's playing with urgency, intent, respect. Those are the things we teach. And he's playing with those. And it's nice to watch. And what we should do at some point before the playoffs, or maybe as a recap at the end of the season.
Yes.
I think just to be fair.
To be fair.
We need to come out and have a, you know, come to Jesus moment, so to speak, with ourselves and list the guys we were wrong about.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on.
It's a long list. Come on, man.
Whoa.
We were wrong about 19.
No. Why are we at fault because he wasn't playing near to his game?
I don't know. We said we have been harsh critics of a lot of guys that are playing really well.
But here's the caveat.
We need to eat some crow.
In no it's no different than when we, and we've said this, we've talked about Jake Allen, right? We've talked about how at times this year he's been very good, and then people want to talk about, yeah, but what about this? What about this? What did we say? I think it was me that said it. You can't say that about him and not say it about Tarasenko. You can't say about him and not say it about Pietrangelo.
But I was ready to trade the whole team.
But my point is, and I understand that part, but I'm talking about from a realistic point of view, there's nothing wrong with when a guy is not doing what playing to his potential to say he's not playing to his potential. And listen, I don't know if they did some magic bionic work on him when they did whatever they did to him, and then it finally, I don't know, because it makes you sit here and go, has he been hurt for a long time, right?
Well, right.
Was it something he put off and put off and put off, and he's looking at it now going, God, I should have done this three years ago. I don't know.
So we make a list of the guys that weren't playing well and talk about how they're playing well now, because it's extensive. We were hard on a lot of people. You know, I got criticized on Facebook and Twitter.
You get criticized all the time because you stick it out there, which is great.
For being negative. There was a couple people said they're not going to listen because I'm so negative.
You're Nick negative?
Yeah. But so, in fairness.
So now they're not listening while you're positive. See, they're missing out.
Well, you know they're full of it. They're still listening.
So it's a Howard Stern
moment. Yeah. So anyway, they're still listening. So I think it's only fair for us to, you know, if we're going to adamantly tell some, you know, talk about how poor people are playing, then we need to adamantly brag or talk about how well they're playing. And Bouwmeester's playing incredibly well. I mean, incredibly well. There are times he's the best player on the ice.
Yeah.
But for either team, I don't care which.
Hey, this is the greatest thing ever. So Kimby is going to be on here. We're going to talk to him about it. But he's in a Twitter fight with somebody trying to talk to him about a code. And it's great because this guy, he types on here. Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but he basically, he wants to know what the fuck is the code. He wants to know what the code is. Is it the same as respect the game? And this clown who has this guy who's got 83 followers is telling him he has a copy of the book that was written about it if he'd like to borrow it sometime. Oh, I mean, when people tell a guy that played in the league for 8 years that he needs to read a book about a code in the exact league that he played in and did the exact job that he did that is all about respect and not a code, I find that comical at best. But
I'll be interested.
Do what you do. Fan how you want to fan. It's interested
to hear what the guy who was on the ice has to say about that.
Well, we're going to hear from him. And again, I can't thank our hosts enough. Mentor Arena, thank you so much. Adam Smokehouse, once again, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do deliver to certain zip codes. Give them a call and find out. And, of course, if you need any catering done, Gary, you play hockey tournaments golf tournaments every weekend, right?
Yeah.
If you made the turn and saw the Adam Smokehouse truck pull up, what would you say?
I'd say I'm not going to make the back nine.
I'm not going to make the back nine. That's a good call. So, listen, guys, I'm telling you, if you have an event that needs catering, Adam Smokehouse is a name you can trust for sure to handle the job and handle it properly. My friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, thanks again for your continued support. I can't tell you enough about Noel Buckingham. I got to meet his wife. We had a great time. His wife just keeps looking at, like, she looked at me and shook her head about 10 times. Like, hey, what is it going on with my husband here that you guys want to party with him? But I'm telling you, he's got that vibe, right? And he had a great time. They both did. I mean, she looks just as fun as he does. So Buckingham Pest Control, folks, he's in the front make sure you row, check him out. Leonard oh, he's front row Noel. That's what we ought to call him. Front row Noel.
Tuxedo t-shirt.
I love it. Hey, listen, if you're going to have a guy come in and kill something in your house, don't you want it to be front row Noel? I would.
Absolutely.
All right, Buckingham Pest Control, folks, make sure you use him. He was so gracious, too, passing out cards, telling everybody give him a call. He'll take care of anything they need at the event. He's just a great dude, and we want you guys to show him some love. And hey, show him that we can send some people his way, you know, that we'd appreciate it. So give him a call. Say, hey, I love the Blues. I love what you're doing for Blues NHL Podcast. Come kill some bugs, because remember, he doesn't kill penalties, but he does kill pests and pass the savings on to you. That's Buckingham Pest Control. And he does give away hockey tickets, too. So what else do you really need? But happy to have Noel on board and all of our great partners, SynergyHockeySkills.com, NelsonLandServices.com. As always, great stuff. But I got to tell you, you can hear from us all day long, but you know who the folks really want to hear from. Let's bring him in. Yeah. That's how it goes right there. The man is back from the milk carton there, Henson. Let's welcome in Mr. Kimball. What's going on, buddy? You've been found. It's great.
Gentlemen, I just pop in and out all the time. In and out quick. That's all you got to do.
Hey, you were missed.
My life.
Well, you were missed last week, of course. The event with Tony and Reed was obviously a great event, but you were missed, and you always offer a lot, especially to those conversations where you can get around two more guys who want to say or want to I don't not say want to sing the praises of old school hockey and the things that are missed in today's game. So. Know that you still have a ton of fans out there, buddy.
Well, you know what? Anytime you get Twister in the room and telling stories, the man's full of a lot of energy, and he's got a lot of stories to tell, and he was one of the best at his role. So, but I was sitting there, and I saw Lozy was going, he was going, and he even talked about Cam maybe going, and I said, there's too many rocks. The rock pile's going to get too big. So I had to get the hell out of the way. So, but no, that was that's entertaining, guys. Those are fan favorites. And to have them to have Twister take the time out and Lozy to take the time out and come on and talk, it's that was neat to hear.
Hey, I got to ask you, everybody obviously Tony Twist is I would describe him, Hendu, am I wrong? Is he's a larger than life figure in St. Louis? I think was he that way across the whole NHL, or do you think it was just because he kind of made his bones here?
No, I think especially the second go around. The first when he got traded for me and he went up to Quebec, you know, and I'm not bad mouth in Quebec, but you're sort of in a smaller environment up there, and people don't know as much about you up there. And then when he comes back to St. Louis for his second journey, and he started he basically started hurting people when he was fighting, and I think that travels through the league pretty damn quick, and so. He was a well-known man through the league. I will say that.
We are aware too that I believe unless he's gotten in some off-ice scuffles that we're unaware of, and to add to a tally that you fought him more than anybody. He had said something that I thought was interesting, and Hendu, I'll get your thoughts on this too. I really, as a fan, wanted him to pick out a particular fight or a particular guy in the league that. He felt was like a real challenge, or he knew he was in a scrap. I mean, he has that thing of, man, if somebody drops him with you, you respect him and you go, and I don't care who it is, they're all that way. I think in reality, we look at it and go, come on, there's a big difference between fighting, you know, Bob Probert and Bob Bassin or whatever, however you want to term it. But I guess at the end of the day, I understand what he was saying. But, you know, here's a guy that a lot of people fought. And I mean, even Reed Lowe had kind of made mention that, hey, you know, this guy wanted to hurt you. And was there any pause at all in any of the fights you ever had with him? Like, I'm not squaring up with an average dude here.
No. And the thing with Twister, and if I was there, he would have to admit it. I always went off, and I never cheap shotted the man. I had the respect of the world, but I got respect back from him. And, cause we were going to square off, and I didn't have to get the jump on him. None of that nonsense had to go. It was, you're either going to kick the shit out of me or I'm going to hopefully do good here and, you know, hang on. But we had a lot of good fights when we were in junior, and it was a lot of toe-to-toe fights. And like I always said, Twister gets, when he gets up into the second go around in St. Louis, he's a lot bigger of a man. And, the punches were coming from way down, but and Twister would admit this to anybody too. And I think where he was going with it, Chromes, when he says, depending on who you're fighting, Bob Probert or who you're fighting, anybody could beat anybody on any given day. And so when the thing with Twister, everyone was so worried about getting hurt by the man. So you had to be on your best if you were even going to go to the battle. So it was just like Bob Probert. If you were going to go fight Bob Probert, you better be goddamn ready to go fight Bob Probert or things aren't going to work out. And that's how Twister was. And so that's why I think where he was going with that, did he want to hurt people? Yeah, he did. But that was his job. That's all of our jobs. You had to win, or you weren't around long, you know?
Well, let me toot Kimby's horn here for a second. I've seen everyone.
Toot, toot.
I've seen every one of, first of all, I've seen every one of Kimby's fights because he made me watch them.
But are these on road trips?
These are on the road trips on the bus.
All right.
But to toot his horn, though, Tony Twister didn't, like, he's not going to fight somebody as much as he fought Kimby unless it's a challenge. I mean, let's be fair. Kimby was no slouch. I mean, when those two squared up, those were two of the best going at it, for sure. And they both had a job to do. And I have a little bit of inside info. Kimby and I were at the Sports Center. Remember when we were at the Sports Trivia?
Yeah.
We were at the Sports Trivia night a while, ways back. Anyway. So Twister come over to the table and just was like shooting the stuff with us and chat with us and this and that. And going to shoe check somebody, I'm fairly certain. He's going to set somebody's shoe on fire. Anyway, but, you know, they started talking a little bit, and then Twister and I started talking a little bit. And Twister just flat out said, Kimby's easily at the top of the list. And that Tony had to be on – you know, had to be on point when he fought Kimby, because Kimby was no joke. So let's not, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Kimby, and I know he's not going to toot his own horn because he's a humble man, but I'll go ahead and do it for you. Twister's widely considered one of the best, but so is Kimby.
Kimby, I got to ask you, you're a big dude, no doubt about it. Reed Lowe's as big as a tree.
Yeah, he's a big man.
They talked about Chara, which I found to be an interesting conversation about, you know, you can talk about toughness, you can talk about all this stuff, but man, there aren't very many replacements for that kind of size when you start adding up on the tool tree. But when you, like, I guess I would be curious your thoughts on who the biggest dude was you fought that you can remember that was just, you know, tough as nails. And then maybe who the smallest guy was that you thought, man, this dude ain't big, but he's a mean machine here.
Well, I'll tell you, Dave Brown was he was a big man in our day, and he's got to be pretty close to being. Now, off the ice, I fought a guy 7 feet tall at one time, but that was off the ice. But on the ice, Dave Brown, he's right up, and Dave Brown was mean as a son of a bitch, and he was a big time lefty, and he wasn't screwing around when he come to battle. But he was, you know. Near the end, like Dave Brown and Stu Grimson in my time were two of the tallest guys and biggest guys. And they're, you had to be careful when you're fighting them. Cause yeah, if you didn't get to them, you were in a lot of trouble. And so you had to make sure you could get to them. And that's where Twister come in. And it's funny. Cause when you stand and look, and I was looking at one of the pictures you guys took at the thing last week. And you know, you look how tall Losey is, but if Losey and Twister were, if they were squaring off, Twister's arms were so damn long, and he could grab, like, when, you know, when you hear Ribs, when Ribs talks about him, you know, he makes fun of him about his arm knuckles drag up. Well, his arms are so damn long. So, and he was so strong, so he could get to you. But Dave Brown was, he's right up there. He was so big, and he was a big hand lefty. But he hurt a lot of people also, that man did.
Well, let's talk a little Blues hockey here. Kimby, I got to ask you, you know, it's been an interesting season for Blues fans. It's been an interesting season for the Blues organization. It's been a very interesting season for us as a podcast. We've lived the interesting life of feeling the emotion of the fans. Let's face it, at the end of the day, we're fans, right? Jamie withstanding. I mean, he's a fan, but sometimes I think because of all the things that he does, he can get emotionally invested in the team, maybe a little bit more than the average fan, because he sees things and knows things that he can't discuss sometimes, or things that he knows. But you guys as former players also understand some things that we can't understand as fans, and that drives some fans crazy. Not me. I don't know why you didn't play the game thing bothers some people. But for this kind of a turnaround to happen, I would say I don't know that I've seen much like it in my day. Of being a hockey fan. I've seen it go the other way, unfortunately, for the Blues. I've seen them have great seasons and kind of bail in the playoffs. But somebody had sent us something on Twitter the other day, and they want to know your opinion. I don't think they were taking a shot at you. I think they were genuinely curious that, you know, you had been, at the beginning of the season, when everybody thought we were going to the Stanley Cup, you were kind of saying, you know, hang on. I'm just not sure about the way this team is constructed. And sure enough, it was awful for a while. They're curious your thoughts now. And I have my own opinion on that, because I would argue that this isn't the same team we had 3 or 4 months ago. That being said, you know, is that the simple answer, or are there other factors at play here?
No, I don't think it's real complicated. Like, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because I when I responded to the guy that said that, I said your goaltender, you got Binnington come in, which was a huge difference, and then your coach, and there's a coaching change. So, I believe, and when I went makeup, things weren't gelling. There was too much of one thing going, and I think with Berube coming in, you see Steen's down now in the fourth line playing, and the line's playing well. You know, he's doing well. Maroon, he was struggling. He's doing well now. But I think a lot of that has to go to the credit of the Chief, because I think he's got a mentality in there now that we sort of went through a period, and I'm not saying the other coaches, Yo and them, were, but Chief's got something to back up if he gets pissed off, because he played the game. He played it at the job that he did. You have to respect the man for what he did and how long he played the game. So he comes, you watch him on the bench. You know, he's a guy that's, his emotions are sitting there. You can see what's going on because things piss him off. He lets you know that they piss him off. And I think the team buys into that stuff. And I can reflect, and people might go, but my experience with it was Brian Sutter was the same way. So when Brian Sutter came into the ball game, and when I came in, I met Brian Sutter, he was high intensity. And his high intensity would, you know, it rubbed off on a lot of people. And then we had a lot of guys that did that kind of job. So we did the, you know, you put the hard work in like Brian did. Yeah. You got in the dirty spots like Brian did. And I think that's what the Blues are doing with Chief, you know. They respect the man for what he did. And I think they're playing harder for him. And then you got a goaltender that is, you know, standing on his head, playing well. And I think the whole team's confidence is following that, because they know the goalie's going to keep him in the ballgame right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've talked a while now about, and this isn't to disrespect other coaches, but they were soft. They just were. And Berube isn't soft. And I think, you know, Jamie's always talking about grit and sandpaper, and I think the Blues have that now, and it's directly correlation to their coach. I mean, correlated to their coach. I think he's done a great job of getting these guys to understand how to play heavy, how to play with that intensity that you just spoke about. And you know, just – and not taking a shift off, not taking a – you know, sometimes periods off we saw earlier in the season, and not getting pushed around either. Like, you don't have to drop the gloves to play heavy. You can play heavy and play physical, and the Blues do that now. And one of the things to look at to see how heavy a team is playing, and to see if the St. Louis Blues are actually playing heavy, is look at their offensive zone possession time, or you can look at the number of turnovers that they create in their offensive zone. Those things are done by hard, heavy forecheck. And D that just aren't going to give up a lot of space and not going to allow you to exit the zone very easily. And the Blues have proven that they can play that way. And I think the reason why they are playing that way is they have that confidence. And I think it came directly from the coach.
Yeah, it most certainly came from the coach. And it also goes, the most important person on the ice at all times is your goaltender. And I think the folks of St. Louis, maybe even the team of St. Louis, you know how Jake's had and I've always been a supporter of Jake, and I'll still be a supporter because I think he's a good goaltender. I think there's some things that went on in St. Louis that everybody's always going to weigh in on. So Binnington comes in, and he's got no history. Nobody knows about the man. He comes in, he starts stopping the biscuit. He's winning all these games. So he's riding a high right now, and I think this team is going to continue to soar as long as that man keeps doing the job, because the fans can't be pissed off at him because they don't know nothing about the guy. And all he's done is come in here and play well. And the team plays well in front of him. The confidence is crazy. So, you know, I want to give it all to Chief and basically the mentality that he brings to the game. But obviously the goaltender's got to take a lot of this too, because I think he's instilled a lot of confidence in this hockey team.
Yeah, he came in with no expectation, where every goaltender that we've had recently, well, maybe even go back 10 years, every goalie that the Blues have had has come with these high accolades and hasn't lived up to it Or at least the perception is they haven't lived up to it. And he came in with nothing. You said, nobody knew who he was. And something that Cromer has said for years is, and he's always bitching about it, is a goalie has to steal you a game. And we haven't seen that a lot with the St. Louis goaltenders, but we've seen it with 50 because he flat out stole that game against the Lightning the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, he flat out stole that game.
Yeah, but in all fairness, Gary, you, and this is where I'll go with on this, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm not throwing Jake down the river altogether because last year, and even at the start of this year, even though the Blues weren't doing good, that the man played some games they won that they didn't deserve to win was because of Jake Allen. So, but there was a process with the man that he went through that when some, he had a couple off ice things that went on and then the confidence level on the ice letting bad goals in. So everyone got down on him. But, you know, he's a good goaltender. He's won some games for him this year, but the other guy coming in has sort of instilled a different kind of confidence in this team.
You know, the thing for me, and when Gary and I used to talk about this, the other thing for me was always, and you can talk about this because you've played. I mean, you were out there. You were on the ice. You lived it. I always said that I thought that this was one of the bigger issues. I mean, the stealing the game thing was one thing, but it's only human nature. And the Blues, I don't have any data to back this up. This is just a feeling I got as a fan of watching games all the time. It just seemed like when they would get going bad, that it would get going like this. And this was kind of their MO. They would not score, couldn't score, and they would dominate a game, and then all of a sudden the other team would come down and score a goal.
Yeah.
And then, correct. And to me, and again, you're the one that can speak to this, there can't be anything more deflating as a player than I'm busting my ass out here, I'm working my ass off, you know, we're putting a ton of pressure on their end, and they get one damn break down here and they get a soft goal. Kind of like, you know, you always talk about when Brett Hull was here, how you felt like you were a goal ahead before the game even started. Well, there had to have been times, and I know that Jake Allen has played well at times, but with this particular goaltender and others, he's not the only one that's wore a blue note that it's been like this. I think there's times where, I don't know if you go into the game feeling that way, but when it happens, you automatically just feel like, God, we were down before this thing ever started.
Yeah, and I think two Chromes with the process, because Benitez led, there's been a couple games here where he's let in a couple questionable goals, and everyone has to admit that. But the team responded, though. They said, well, here, we owe this guy. So they're fighting from a different perspective as they were when Jake would let it in. It wasn't really there. They weren't really going to fight for it as much as they are with Benitez. And people might call me crazy on that. That's just what I'm seeing. And let's be a real fair to the whole ball game when this all turns around. What about the number one goal scorer? What was he doing the first part? He was doing shit. And now look at him. He scores all. O'Reilly was running this team by himself, basically. And now you got all these other guys. And Perron, until he got hurt. Perron was playing well, too. And now you got Tarasenko's playing well. Petrangelo's playing a lot better. You know, Maroon's adding to the process. Shen's, you know, so they're all come together at the right time, which is great for St. Louis. And hopefully this continues for a good run.
You know, so we've got a few games left here. Season's not over. You know, catching Nashville is a real possibility here. They would need a lot of – I mean, things would have to go – it's not impossible for them to catch Winnipeg, but things would really have to turn for them in an interesting way to catch Winnipeg. You know, how important is it now, in your opinion, for them to continue to move up in the standings? Or do you think it's like house money and basically the main thing is just go into the playoffs playing well?
No, I think the main thing is going into the playoffs, being ready to play. But as you know, and you watch these Cinderella teams fly through these in the history of the hockey, teams that don't belong in there, and all of a sudden they get to playoffs and boom, something happens and now they're winning games. They go from an 8 seed and some guys have gone to win the Stanley Cup. So is it important? Yeah. Is it important to go in on a hot streak? Maybe. My thing with the Blues, as I look at it, and if I was playing the game and I know the players are looking at it where they sit and I'm thinking, well, if I'm right now where I stand, I play Nashville first round, whether who's going to have home ice advantage, it depends, you know, that's going to be close. But now I got to go through a grueling series with Nashville, and you know that as well as I do. That's going to be a that would be a hell of a series. And then if you come out on the other side of that, now you got possibly Winnipeg you're looking at. So, but you don't know that, you know that, you know how hockey goes. But I'm just being a guy sitting here looking at the schedule, thinking I'm a third seed or a second seed. It's going to be a tough road for the Blues. So, you know, I heard there's 25 guys on the ice now. They got them all healthy, so they're all ready to roll, which is going to be beneficial to them going forward. Because if they're going to have to play these guys, especially like a Winnipeg down the road or a Nashville, you know it's going to be physical. You're going to need every damn buddy to contribute to this ballgame.
Did you ever as a player, and do you think these guys ever look at it and say, this is who I'd rather play, or I really don't want to face these guys? I mean, I know that's probably a silly question, but I thought I'd at least ask.
I don't think it's a silly question at all. I think when you're going to go in to play somebody and during what the season's been like, who you've had success against, are you playing a checking team where, they play different styles or an open team? Like I would think Nashville plays a little more, well, maybe not, because Winnipeg's got some goal scorers too, but you know, Winnipeg's got some really big bodies that you're going to have to deal with down the road. And so, but you know, I don't know, but I think you want to, of course you're going to look to see who you're playing and see what you've done against them. That's always going to weigh on your mind. That's what everybody does.
Kimby, what do you think of the development of Robert Thomas over this season? I mean, I said it the other day. This kid's 19 years old, and I know we're heading into the playoffs, and this is going to be even a bigger challenge for him than the regular season. But I'm sold on this kid.
Yeah, I think that's I like that because I'm sold on him too. I've seen this going on here and watching him play the game right now, and the kid is just, he's acting like he's been around for like 5 years now. And, you know, and he just, it took him a while to get there. And I think it took the coaches a while to get to the man and give him the opportunity to play. It's not an easy league to join into. You know, you don't jump in unless you're a first overall guy where you're going to get the opportunity on a bad team. Because going into the season, St. Louis wasn't supposed to be a bottom feeder team at the start, you know. So Thomas, you come in and then you would get your opportunity to play. But the Blues have been fighting for a playoff spot right from the get-go because they got off to such a bad start. And now they got themselves into position. But Thomas is finally, you know, he got ice time at some point in time when Chief got around. And I think even when Chief got there, it took him some time to give the man his dues. You know what I mean? And then, but once he's got to it, God, the kids, they got to be thrilled what they got there. That's a hell of a hockey player.
Hey, I know you're probably running out of time, Kimmy, but I got to ask you, you know, we live in a town where sports fans love the Blues and the Cardinals. One of the things that you hear a lot in baseball with young players is there are times when upper management forces young players on a manager. Does that happen in hockey, or do you see it more like it because of the way the sport is that young players really have to earn the time?
I think your top five, maybe your top 10 picks in the draft, have got the best opportunity that you're going to be in at the start of the season. They're usually going to give those kids, or even your first rounder, I don't care who it is. Every team I played on, any first rounder that was ever drafted was going to get the first opportunity to go and play for the big club. And that's why when you see these other guys, these six rounders, these whatever they become, and they turn out to be like superstars, like even like what Holly was, you know, just imagine that. Like, so you take these guys that had to pay all the price and they were fourth or fifth or sixth round pick, and then they turn out to be a superstar. That's the ones I really enjoy because they were never, they were expected maybe to get to the league, maybe, but you know, no one really, the first rounders are always supposed to be your superstars of the future. Correct. And so it's just interesting when people, the first rounders are going to get thrown on the coach. The general manager is going to say, or the owners are going to say, we have to have this guy playing. We put all our time into this guy. We know all the media blitz is about him. So that's the guy that's got to come through. And there's a lot of pressure on them. I agree. But these other guys that get to go down to the minors and learn what it takes to play the game, the Montreal Canadiens will always be used as a primary example as guys that had to go down and pay their dues. And when you go down and pay your dues, you ride the buses, you eat the McDonald's food, you know, the per diem is way, way less money. It just makes you appreciate the game when it gets to the NHL, and that's what makes people love the game while they play it.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be an interesting little finish to the season here. I mean, it's great to. I mean, I know that we're trying to officially get in, but come on, we're in.
I've been watching that shit on Twitter. People are all getting into the end. We got this percent. Okay, who gives a shit? It's going to get there, and it's going to happen.
But I understand the excitement. Like I said, this wasn't even a roller coaster. Like, we've lived the roller coaster the last couple of years. I mean, this was an absolute collapse at the beginning of the season because the expectations were there. And then for them to climb back in it, and not only climb back in it, but they have some of these wins have been really impressive. As impressive as devastating some of the losses were at the beginning of the year. So to some of the teams that we did lose. So I'm excited about it. I got to ask you one thing though, before you go, would you like to see the McKendree hockey coach in the stands more at the Granite City games, maybe as much as he's in the stands for the Collinsville games?
Oh, shut up.
You know what, though? I'll tell you what, for following the high school hockey on the Illinois side, that is. Missouri side, I'm not sure what's going on over there. But Illinois, if you were following Collinsville, at least Gary's in the right ballpark because two of the better players, Hunter Longy was over there, but now he's a AAA boy, and Gary ain't going to get him. But there's another. But they had a pretty good hockey club over there. So I get why you got to go watch those kids. You have to if you're trying to build a program. And but we got some kids that are coming up here in the future. And if I taught Gary anything besides drinking back in the day, he should. You always got to go around and look. And you could walk into a rink and you might see something that you like and no one else is going to like. And you always got to go to those events, man.
Yeah, there's a couple on your team we got our eye on. Definitely. One's a sophomore right now. I won't mention his name, but
I know who that is.
Just to kind of back up what he said about Collinsville, we are going to announce that we signed Noah Scrum yesterday. So
the Scrum family, and good Scrum people.
And just so you guys understand this too, and Gary, so that kid we played in this year, and he's a cocky little shit, but I don't know.
We lost him.
I have words on the ice. And
hang on, Kimby. You cut out there. Start over. You said he's a little cocky on the ice, but?
Yeah, he's a cocky, and I like that. I like someone. You have to have cockiness to do whatever you're doing in sport because you have to believe in yourself. And this kid, we beat him the first game this year, 5-1, I think, and we shut him down and Hunter Longy down. So the next game they come back, and I think, they beat us 10-4 or something like that, and I was pissed off at the kid because he was taking it a little too far for my liking, and so I started yelling at him. But he stuck it on my rear end because he got like about 9 points I think that night. So
yeah, he had nine against you.
So then he gets the last lap. But I was, I'll tell you what, my players sure heard about it because I was pissed off because I can't do nothing about it, and I got this little shit doing what he's doing on the ice, and so I was mad.
Well, that's kind of a compliment, though. He'll enjoy hearing this.
I think he's a good hockey player. Now I don't I don't know all of what Gary's got going on. He's got two teams up there, and I don't watch it enough to know where the kid's going to fit in. So, but I know he's one of the him and Hunter Longy were probably two of the best hockey players in our league this year. So if you're getting the top players, that's a good sign.
Well, thanks, Kimby. Appreciate it. We'll be talking about a couple of years here pretty soon.
Good stuff. And I'll tell you what, though, Chrome's one, just off the thing here. So when fans get watching this now, and these games coming up, they could turn into little trap games because you got the Rangers, you got the Devils, then they're not playing a strong schedule, the Blues aren't. And you got all these young kids that are in these lineups of these other teams. They're trying to impress a coach for next year. So the Blues are going to still have to – people say it's a weak schedule, and I agree. It's probably the weakest schedule of the guys going in. But these guys, these teams that are playing that don't have nothing to play for except for their jobs next year, which is really important, they could give you trouble. So the Blues aren't going to – they can't go in here and sleep on this shit. They got to keep going in the right direction.
Well, I'll say this, and you're the expert, you and Jamie for sure, and Gary, I'm just a knucklehead fan, but the truth of the matter is the thing that has impressed me the most through this stretch, now, they haven't won every game, okay? They've lost a couple of games here or there. It was a soft goal and a couple things like that. But the truth of the matter is what's impressed me most was they beat the snot out of a couple of teams, and then you had some people go, well, they're not very good. And I said, yeah. But so they did what they're supposed to do and beat the snot out of them. And then they turned right around and played one of the better teams in the league and beat them too. So that's when it tells me that whatever system you're playing, whatever it is that you're doing that has you going in the right direction, you're like the team is all in and there's nobody taking it off and there's nobody laying it on somebody else. They're all doing it. And I will say this, I have been like, and you know this, and you and I've talked about, I'm like, have been so anti-Steen, right? Well, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I'm pro Steen if he's on the fourth line.
Yeah,
that is
too.
Right where he belongs. And let me tell you something. If a guy like Steen is on your fourth line, you're pretty good.
Yeah, you're pretty.
See,
good.
That's my was always my point with that whole thing. So,
but if a guy like Steen playing the way Steen's playing right now is good. Yeah, because and that's where you got to give something to Steen on this one because I don't think he had a good year. I really don't. I haven't been impressed with him for a while, but. He's gone down here. He's taken his medicine, and that fourth line is playing some pretty goddamn good hockey for the Blues right now.
If you're getting production in any way, shape, or form out of your fourth line, and they're making it difficult on the other team, it's not all. And we've talked about
49 is good.
Yeah, he is such a good player.
49 is good.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully, his parents don't leave town, though, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say there should be a collection at the front door, but. But the thing for me is we've talked about the different ways that you can make it hard to play against. Right? Like there's lines like when Brodziak and Upshaw and Reeves were here, you know, they were putting pressure on teams, but they were also being physical and doing other things. Well, there's lots of ways to put pressure on people, and they're doing it from a fourth line standpoint. So, you know, that to me, like I said, that's the whole thing with all cylinders firing. We'll see what happens. You know, we're getting ready to roll here.
They're turning four lines over, and you know what? The four lines are always coming on the ice, even though the top line's got, you know, all the potential. But these other guys are coming on, and they're putting something on the ice right now that teams are having a hard time with. So, you know, everything's going in the right direction, and their defense are playing well, too. They're, you know, they're getting up in the play. They're creating a lot of offense, and, you know, the things are just gelling right now, man. It looks good.
Well, thanks for carrying the water today. I'm sure you'll let Rivs know that you got it under control while he's out. You know, we're you know, he's dealing with,
you know,
some stuff that he has to deal with, and obviously we all want him to do so.
Hey, last thing I'm going to tell you here, and just, if you've been following me on Twitter at all, I had this little spat with this guy last night about the code. So this guy's talking about this fight that happened in Montreal where this guy sort of got his ass handed back to him after hitting a dirty hit during the season.
Yeah.
And so I put on there, karma's a bitch.
Right.
And, you know, and I just made a statement on this. So this guy jumped on me and said I had no respect for it. Well, that's not what I was going at. I'm just saying, if you're going to run around and be a little shit, then I don't care if the guy apologizes. If you're sitting in a goddamn neck brace and the guy apologizes, do you think I'm going to take that? No, I'm not. So the guy did something. He got his lunch fed to me and then to him. And then all of a sudden these guys come on here and then they start talking about a code. And I'm going... And I said this morning when I got up, I go, what the fuck's a code? Because I said, I played fucking 8 years in the National Hockey League, and that's the role I did, and I'd never heard of a code. And so I'm going, what fucking reporter, or did some guy just by saying there was a code that you just didn't hit Gretzky or you didn't do something? But I never heard of a code. And I said, and my response to it was, what is the code, the same thing as fucking respecting the game of hockey so you don't hit people from behind? You know, you own up to your shit. You know, that's where I was going. But fuck me, I've been rattled on this one all day, man.
I was on it. I was reading all.
I know. Hey, there's a couple things that can get him rattled. You know, somebody trying to tell him about how it's supposed to be done in something he did for 8 years or and longer.
Yeah,
and number two, when Riv's stepsons get involved in some off or on ice altercations, you want to chime in on that one at all?
We got him rattled up there, though, didn't we? But, you know, I'll tell you what, and I'll side. I like the kids play. They're good players, so you take them on your team. But I jive into Riv's because it's almost like he's living at their damn house. And so I thought the guy from the Dart Dowdy from I thought that was kind of chicken shit to call a guy out. If you want to do that, then at least stand up and do it on the ice. That's the only thing I had a problem with.
Don't you think there's – I mean – there's got to be something there, right? Like, there's more. Yeah,
that's not a code, and we're not talking code again, are we?
Doesn't that scream to you that there's a little more going on here? Like, that's not.
Well, I think these guys had something though before Chromes. I believe it was either was Tkachuk a rookie last year, or was he 2 years ago? He was a rookie 2 years ago.
Two, right?
Yeah, I think two, and I think there was something going on back in the day when I think they had a little run in prior to this, like 2 or 3 years ago, and so I think the guy probably gets under his skin. Kachuk probably gets under his skin all the time. And so but you never bring that shit and put it in the media. And that's why this guy's won 2 Stanley Cups. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. And he does that. So, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I love it, dude. I love him. He's one of my, like.
Yeah, but he's on the downside.
I know he is. But, man, I tell you what, for you know, a good 6-7 years.
He was one of the top three.
Yeah. He was one of the top three defensemen in the league.
And so he went after Tkachuk, though, and that's, you know, I get that because Tkachuk, you know, he gets under people's skins, and that's the type of hockey that he's playing right now. But he's scoring lots of goals, so he's doing everything right. But the other comment when he went after Burns from San Jose, I'm going, fuck, that makes no fucking sense. Like, why are you doing that? Because that's the old theory there. If you live in glass houses, don't throw stones, man.
Is that a 28-win team frustration comments maybe from a guy that's sitting here going, man, you know, how much time do I have left in this league? And
he's got to be a better pro than that, though.
I know, but but we're all human, right? No,
yeah. You know, because you were at the top. You know, he was at the top of the ladder, so you know he was up there drinking from the cup. He won the cup 2 years in a row, so you know, go out to treat the game the way the game treated you, and so you don't start doing that shit. That's chicken shit hockey there, and that's where we'll go the code again, but someone should have kicked the shit out of him for doing that. That's what should have happened.
Well, we got some code going on here. It's code for I know you got to go to work, so why don't you get back to it. Thanks for helping out today on the show, and we miss you, and hopefully we'll get you back in studio before the end of the year, and then by next year, hopefully you got your schedule back online. And so I know the fans really miss you. So
no, I miss being there, but I appreciate talking to you guys today.
All right, buddy. Take care, pal.
Chat. Bye-bye.
Never disappoints, does he?
No, and let me – so when he was talking about draft, you know, the top five guys in the draft or 10 guys getting ice time, so I just wanted to look this up. I knew it, but I wanted to make sure. Kimby was drafted in round 4, number 66 overall in 1988.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
Okay, so then when we were talking about rookies getting some ice time. So in his first year, he played 26 games for Quebec and had 149 penalty minutes in 26 games, and then he spent some time in Halifax that same year, and he had 188 penalty minutes in 39 games. And let's not cheat him. He had 11 goals, 7 assists. He was on pace to be a goal scorer.
Let's not forget that when he was 16 years old and played for Swift Current, he played 59 games and had 28 goals, 32 assists, and 264 penalty minutes, man, in Swift Current.
In his first year as a pro, he had 337 penalty minutes. 337.
Yeah.
You know, if that that's
hey, here he is. How about this? Here's a good one for you. This is when, let's face it, a Darren Kimball said, you know, hey, I'm here, right? 1987, 88, 19 years old, playing for Prince Albert, 67 games, 35 goals, 36 assists, and 307 penalty minutes.
Kimby could play. There's no doubt about it. Kimby could play. That's impressive. So anyway,
Is it as impressive as him as a 32-year-old playing for the Missouri River Riders and scoring 29 goals?
You know, we used to go those games.
Oh my god.
So one of the games goes to a shootout and Kimby's gotta score to keep it going. If he doesn't score, they lose. And there's like 8 of us standing right behind the other team's goalie, just banging on the glass and giving him the finger and everything while he's coming down and he rings it. First of all, he takes a little snapshot. It missed the net high by 6 feet. And then we all just start pounding, and he slammed his stick on the glass at us. Was all pissed off. He said we cost him the game.
Probably did.
Well, you know, a pro.
Scored 7 goals when you're in the National Hockey League.
I know.
There are a lot of guys that didn't score 7 goals in a year in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, he's great. Jamie's great. We're lucky. You know, we get to do this with these guys and hear it discussed in a different forum than most. So we appreciate them. You know, it's awesome stuff. Want to thank all you guys for tuning in. I had a great time, Hindu, and it's good to hear you're going to be back in GC and you know, recruiting the way it should be. That'll be awesome. You know,
we've got some Granite City guys and some Collinsville guys on the squad.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving you a little stat. I know. You know that.
I got to protect the home crowd.
know, you took it from GC to Collinsville for a while there, and everybody was bent out of shape. So
well, you know, I had to go where the paycheck was.
I hear you. But, no, good stuff. And, you know, our calls are always brought to you by two of the names that are, you know, that we associate with amateur hockey here in St. Louis. Of course, SynergyHockeySkills.com, which Jamie obviously operates and has so many great people working for. We want to encourage you to check that out and see what they have going on. You know, the off season is where you really improve your game, and Jamie and his team are ready to help you in any fashion and any way that fits your schedule. So that's SynergyHockeySkills.com. Of course, the Nelson family, who, you know, you hear us talk about so much on here, such a name that out in the amateur community that's so well respected, both on and off the ice. Just a great family that understands how important hard work is. That work ethic has been instilled in their kids. If you see them on the ice, if you see them off the ice, you can see what kind of family they are. And if you're going to have a huge project when it comes to landscaping or even a smaller project that takes real professional work, this is the family you need to know and trust. NelsonLandServices.com. Give them an opportunity for your business today. You know, our man Noel Buckingham had a great time. I know I mentioned him earlier. He had a great time over there, and we want to encourage you guys to give them an opportunity. Buckingham Pest Control, make sure you guys use them for your pest control this year. It would be important for us to show them that, you know, our listeners are going to support the people that support us. So make sure you give them a call and have them come out and check it out. And you know, Gary's going to giggle because he loves this, and it's cooler than anything that we've come up with. Except for you did call Angela Sharp awesome at being awesome. That was pretty good.
I coined that.
But – speaking of coin, my man Noel coming up with "We don't kill penalties, just pass and pass the savings on to you" is pretty good.
That cracked me up.
That is good stuff. So Buckingham Pest Control, we will have after the next game, we will have our three pests on the ice.
I bet you 19 is our what you call Barbie. Thomas is on that list.
Oh, you think Thomas Barbie? 19-year-old. Listen, it's hard to not put Barbashev on there almost every night. You're right; he could those not be two, playing better. Man. Unbelievable. Yeah. So. Big part of it. And it's amazing how when guys that don't show up on the stat sheet every night are a huge part of a team's turnaround. And right. It really tells you that. I think that goes into what we were talking about earlier with those the complete
guys,
buy-in.
Yeah, those guys are showing up on that stat sheet too.
Yeah, it's true. I meant that you don't expect
them
to.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, Buckingham Pest Control, folks, again, check out their Facebook page. Like their Facebook page. He gives away tickets from time to time. Follow them on their social media. Okay, they're on Twitter as well. If you want to know when they're having a contest to give away tickets, that's the best way to do it. So make sure you're following them on social media. I'm sure they do deals and have opportunities to use their services and try them out. You can't know this stuff if you're not following them. So make sure you're checking them out. We're so excited to be associated with them. I'm glad I got to meet his wife. They, I believe they had a good time, as I think they probably would have a good time anywhere. And happy to have them be a part of our show. I want to thank Adam Smokehouse. The food was tremendous. Everybody was so impressed. I see all the people that were there singing their praises on social media. We know that if you go to Adam Smokehouse, you will not be disappointed. I say it all the time. There's great barbecue in St. Louis, folks. But I'm partial to Adam Smokehouse. I think it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. That is on available on Watson Road, folks, to Adam Smokehouse for you to check it out. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget to order your box lunches ahead of time, and they'll get those ready and get them over to you, and you can have them for work or events or whatever you need. Catering services as well that are second to none. That's our friend Mike over at Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. Randy Green, thank you so much for your continued support. It was great catching up with you the other day. I can't wait for we got some fun stuff planned in the off season to prepare for next year as far as using the guys here to have a little fun and promote the business. He's a 35 years experienced craftsman, folks, and more importantly, he's a man of his word. He's got the construction team, the heating and cooling team, and the electric team ready to take care of you. It doesn't matter if it's residential, commercial, or industrial. Randy Green with Innovative Companies is the name you can know and trust. Give him an opportunity for your business today. That's innovativecompanies.com. Don't forget to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com, where you can subscribe to the show. We would really appreciate it if you do so. You can listen to the show on the website as well, but the main thing you can do is subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us there, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook. Type in Blues NHL Podcast. Make sure you like our page and click invite your friends. When we do post a show, we'll pin it. All we ask is that you comment on it, like it, and share it. That's how we reach more people and make it a relevant post. You guys have been doing that, and we greatly appreciate all your help.
As always, special thanks goes out to lineupmediagroup.fm for their continued support of our show, Home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you can download now on your mobile device for free. You guys are going to enjoy it. I know I do. Henson's actually got it up right now, listening to some tunes as I spill out all this useful knowledge, I'll call it, but
important information.
So thanks to everybody that makes this show possible. Hindu, thanks for coming in today. Congratulations on getting a really good player for your program, as you have been doing for years now, as you grow it.
Thank you.
To all of our listeners out there, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.